UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good Friday morning, everybody. This is Issel and Louie on ESPN Radio. The first hour, as always, is brought to you by our friends at KentuckyTourism.com. We appreciate you spending part of your morning with us. We've got a great show today. Kyle Tucker of The Athletic will be on at 10:30 to talk about the...
It's the
Hatfields and the McCoys all over again, Louie. Cal and Mark Stoops.
Well, which one are you? Are you a Hatfield or a McCoy? Good morning, Dan.
I don't know. Whatever Cal is, that's what
boom,
I
there
am.
It is.
Yeah. Boom.
I agree. Whatever Cal is, we are. I agree.
Yeah. And also we have Kevin Kirstein on from Churchill Downs.
Yep. Talk about the
Arlington Million is not at Arlington. It's at Churchill Downs tomorrow. So looking forward to that as well. Louie, how are you this morning?
Man, I woke up snarky, but I think it was spurred by you logging onto Twitter for the first time in 18 months to decide to take Cal's side about UK basketball. That's amazing.
You know, Louie, I stay away from Twitter. As I've stated before, I think Twitter gets a whole lot of people in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to be in trouble, but I might be in trouble on this one. I set up the Twitter account mainly to get information about NBA to Lou out there, and I haven't done anything. But when I saw this, I mean, you have to comment on this. Kentucky's not a basketball school? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't understand at all. I mean, just for reference, and people are lauding the stuff. UPS Jobs text line, by the way, 437-9680. Join the conversation here. Sometimes these topics are so obvious that people want to be right the other way. And what did we discuss the other day? UK football is ranked in the preseason for the fifth time ever?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're not a football school. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm guessing, and I don't know the exact number, but I'm guessing since 1950, the basketball team has probably been ranked in the preseason polls. What is that, Louie?
72 years.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably 50 times.
I would guess 65 times.
As opposed to five times. Yeah.
To me, this is such a ridiculous thing. I'm so glad you jumped in on this because it is so, I mean, UK football sells out every game, might have the history. This is from Philip J 8585 on Twitter. You're an idiot, sir. Someone named Kyle, are you sure about that, Dan? ? One could say it's a women's volleyball school since that was the most recent national championship. Bum. Brian somebody, Dan got lost on his way to Truth Social. Dan doesn't know what Truth Social is. Get out of here. A guy named James. I have 2 degrees from at UK. I was a football fan, so we're 50,000 others every Saturday. It's not productive to say UK is a basketball school. It's also disrespectful to Mark Stoops. How about this, buddy? How about this? Rafters, banners, basketball. Here, doesn't mean that he's any. That doesn't mean that Dan is at all disrespectful to what Stoops has done at Kentucky.
Absolutely not, and neither is Cal. Cal said, and maybe he was, you know, kicking the tires a little bit, but he said he hopes they. I do too. I love it. I hope they win 10 games every year, go to an outstanding bowl. Maybe one year they get lucky and beat a team like Georgia. Right. They're in the SEC championship game. Yep. I'm all for that 100%. But to say Kentucky isn't a basketball school, that's just dead wrong. Let's go someplace in the country that wouldn't have a dog in this fight. Not in let's go to Boise, Idaho. And you find a sports fan in Boise, Idaho, and you say, "Sir or ma'am, what is name the top college basketball programs in the country?" I'd be willing to bet that Kentucky is certainly in the top five, maybe probably in the top three.
Correct.
You ask that same sports fan in Boise, Idaho, name the top college football programs, and I would be willing to wager, Louie, Kentucky isn't in the first 30 out of their mouths.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so no, to say, and that, and it's not like you have to choose one or the other. I get that Mark has done a great job there. I hope he continues to do it forever. But when you, I've said this before, the 4 years I was at the University of Kentucky, the football team won nine games in 4 years. No, this is a basketball school.
There's no question about it. These people on Twitter that think they're smarter than Historicity just don't understand anything. So kudos on you. You've zoomed over 100 retweets and all those things, so I'm glad people are paying attention. He's Dan Issel. I'm Louie Rabeau. This is Issel and Louie. Stating the obvious for you here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Text us 437-968 in the UPS Jobs text line. All right, did you watch the game last night? Because I did not.
You didn't?
I had a podcast, man. I'm busy.
Oh, that's right. Hey. How'd that go? How'd your podcast go?
It was fun. We had my friend John Sherver from the LA Times on, and we talked about everything. Did you see? I mean, very quickly, the California Horse Racing Board wanted to fingerprint and charge journalists. Yeah, media.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Just to cover the sport. Oh, that's great. It lasted like 24 hours.
Yeah. Like the media is flocking to tracks in Southern California to cover it anyway. I mean,
they're just flooded at Golden Gate Fields with journalists. I mean, that's the real issue.
Yeah. And didn't the LA Times finally ended their coverage, didn't they, of thoroughbred racing?
Coverage altogether, but I was part of it, actually, the horse racing newsletter. And my column went away about a year ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, what they ought to be doing is sending a car service to pick up the media, not charging them to get in the tracks.
Totally agree with you. All right, so did you watch this game last night?
I did. Okay, I did. I watched every minute of it. No, that's a lie. I did not watch every minute of it because when they went to a timeout, I flipped it over to the Field of Dreams game, and sometimes I didn't get back to the Kentucky game in time for the action to start, but I did watch most of it, and again that they're unbelievably impressive. But Louis, they're playing Monterey Tech.
Yeah.
They had one guy that was taller than 6'5". Me, you, Avery, and Jack could have beaten this team.
It was pretty bad.
So I don't know what you take away from that. What'd they win by, 60 or something? It was, but I watched it. I watched every minute of it. A couple of pretty impressive performances. Let's go back. Yesterday, I criticized the coverage, and rightfully so. And it was, I thought it was much better. And I really, I really felt sorry for Hart and for Dane Vanderbilt, because I know what it's like to cover one-sided games like that. I was a color analyst for the Nuggets when they won 20 and 24 games. So I know it's really hard to broadcast a game that is one-sided. In fact, Hart said in the first half, he said, this looks like Oscar Tshiebwe is playing against a bunch of sixth graders. So, and that's what it looked like. But the coverage was much better. They actually talked about the game instead of what Dane had done in the Bahamas, and they put up some statistics that the coverage was much better. They only showed Cal about 25 times as opposed to 40 the night before, and the other things I talked about were better. Cal's buddy didn't have on an Adidas t-shirt, so that was a step in the right direction. And the assistant coaches all wore black, which, you know, it made them look less heavy than they really are. So for the most part, it was a good night.
Man. All right. So by the way, I've decided we need to take sides on this show. About everything, so we've declared today.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I don't know. Most sports talk shows that I have listened to that are long running, that's exactly what happens. One guy says it's black, and the other guy says it's white, even when he really doesn't believe it's white. So
no, you and I are going to take the same side, is what I'm saying. As a show, we're going to take sides. John Clay, get out of the way. Ben Roberts is better. I'm saying it right now. And in John Clay's three points about last night's game, Adutiero won't let you overlook Adutiero. He says in the article, I'll admit that when my colleague Ben Roberts wrote this summer that unheralded recruit Adutiero might turn into something special for Kentucky basketball, I was skeptical. Get out of the way. Ben Roberts knows what he's talking about. You trust
Absolutely,
that man, especially incoming freshman. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's a slow game, though, Dan, when John Clay's second point of his three takeaways is that he liked the uniforms.
And I think the first one was that he had no takeaways.
That was great. It was perfect.
It was very good. You know, seriously, this Theroux kid's going to play some basketball.
He's going to play this year. That's right.
Yeah, they say what I read this morning was one of the coaches said he doesn't know what he's doing, but he really plays hard. Now, I hope what he meant was he doesn't know what he's doing in the Kentucky system, because when it comes to playing basketball, this kid knows exactly what he's doing. I think he has a terrific feel for the game, and you know, the hardest part now you know, when they start playing guys that can really play basketball, some of these performances are going to go in a different direction. But right now, how in the world is Cal going to find playing time for all these guys?
It's a good problem. It's a good problem. But you know how this always goes the same way, Dan. They've got 9-10 guys in the summer, and then Cal gets down to his 7-8 man rotation by January. That's what he does. He does it every year. So finding playing time, he's not going to. That's the answer to your question. He isn't going to do that. He's going to have his 7-8 man rotation.
I guess so. And the other thing I want to say about last night's game, and I've been pretty critical of Wheeler. I think that sometimes he's just out of control and really doesn't have a good feel for the game. Last night, Louie, he showed what a point guard is supposed to be. Mm. I mean, again, he's doing against, you know, slow 6-foot guys. And so it might be different when they get to the SEC. But last night he had 10 assists and only one turnover. Now, he's obviously isn't going to do that every game. But if he can cut down on the turnovers and share the basketball, that's another thing that impresses me about this team. They're very unselfish. Now, you have to realize all of these kids, you know, are coming from programs where they were the man. You know, even Theroux last year averaged like 25 points a game. And to get them to a point where they're unselfish and share the basketball, that's half the battle right there. And I think they do that extremely well.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Wheeler with 10 assists. You know who's going to get phased out of this team is Toppin. That's who's not going to play.
They're
going
to. I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Collins is just coming on so fast and so strong.
Yep.
Now Toppin's going to play. And he so far looks better than he did last year. He looks more in tune to what's going on. He's comfortable in what he's doing. But I think you're right about that. I think in the long term, I think he takes a back seat to Collins.
And I think Wheeler's the other guy. I think that eventually Cal's going to play as freshman because that's part of the deal. It's part of the Kentucky thing under Cal is that the freshmen who are going to be first-round picks get to play. And so I think you're going to see it where, you know, that Wallace and Livingston are on the court at the same time. And, you know, that might lead to Wheeler getting less minutes. And I think a guy like Wheeler probably understands that, frankly. Right? He's going to want to play. But he also understands if he gets 18, 20 minutes a night and he gets to go as hard, you know, he gets to go, you know, full out the whole time. Then, I mean, I think he'll be okay with it. I really do.
Yeah, but if he keeps playing, I mean, he's going to be a starter. Now, he may only play half the game, but he's going to, if he keeps playing like he did last night, he'll be a starter. And I think that Wallace will start at the other guard. And then when Wheeler comes out, then Wallace slides over to the point guard. But, yeah, it's a nice problem to have. It's a whole lot better than trying to figure out who you can play. That's for sure.
That's exactly right. All right, he's Dan Issel. I am Louie Rabeau. This is Issel and Louie here on 680 1057. Thanks for joining us this morning. Cardinal Insider at 5:30 tonight on 93.9 The Ville. And, of course, to preview the million, Inside Churchill Downs on this air, 6 to 7 tonight on 680 and 1057. So what are you going to watch tonight since there's no basketball? Is your wife back in town yet?
No, she
more salami, folks.
More salami. Now, last night, you know what I did? And I don't do this. I'm a whole lot more comfortable with when I'm by myself. I love to grill, but I hate to fire up the grill, you know, just for me. And I to cook one steak or two hamburgers. But I did that last night. I heated up the old grill and had a nice meal for a change. And speaking of nice meals, we want to thank George and the Bearnose team for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios today. Bearnose has you covered for all of the big events this weekend. You know they're down there on Main Street right across from the Yum Center. So if you're going to something downtown, stop in before or after and enjoy a delicious Bearnose pizza. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bearnose pizza.
All right. Well,
so you asked me what I was doing tonight.
Yeah.
What I that's a great question. There's nothing on. The Cubs don't play. They have the day off because of the game last night. There's no basketball. I guess I'm going out to dinner with Scott and his family. So that'll be part of the evening. But I think there's probably some preseason football games. Don't the Bengals play tonight? I think so.
Maybe I'll
tune that in.
If it's not on our air, I don't figure out what the sports schedules are until much later in the evening. It's essentially how that works.
All right. to see if you have time to watch anything on TV.
I am not going to be watching anything on TV. My buddy's coming in from Chicago for the million tonight.
I'll be hanging out
with Scott tonight. So there you go.
Yeah, fun. Yeah. Fun.
Actually, my Lions play tonight, and I had no idea. They play at 6 o'clock, so there you go.
The Bengals are playing. They're playing the Cardinals.
There you go. 7:30 in Cincinnati. There you go.
There's a whole bunch of games tonight.
There are five games tonight. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Watch my Lions lose. Actually, preseason, they'll win. And then they went undefeated in the preseason the year that they lost. They went 0-16. I thought they should have made T-shirts. I mean, honestly, preseason champs, come get it. I mean, just...
So Louie, we talked about the little brouhaha between Cal and Stoops, and we've got Kyle coming on in just a few minutes, and it was his article that got this all started. So we'll ask him about that. But what do you think about Cal's idea of building this Taj Mahal in the middle of UK campus?
Well, what you told me is true, that like the roof is leaking and they're having to stop practice when it rains. none of that is okay. Like, literally none of that is okay. And, you know, sort of famously a couple of years ago, who's the kid? Oh, he plays for Atlanta now. Came through and decided to go to, like, Oklahoma or something, or Oklahoma State, instead of going to, not Cade Cunningham, but the, I'm sorry, instead of going to Kentucky because he and his mom thought the practice facility was garbage. Now, one guy shouldn't change the trajectory of your program, but if you're hearing it over and over again, I mean, that's a problem. I mean, even, you know, Tom Izzo gets he gets the lifetime deal by the, it was perfect. The timing was perfect. They announced that as Kentucky basketball and football are feuding. Michigan State puts out all the stuff that Spartan for life with Tom Izzo at the same time. The timing was pretty perfect. But their practice facility at Michigan State is considerably nicer than Kentucky's. That should bother people at Kentucky.
You know what I didn't realize is that the Kraft Center has been there since 2007. And you know, if the roof leaks, you could fix the roof. I mean, that doesn't cost $200 million. But this is very the facilities are very important in the recruiting, and that's why I'm glad that Kentucky is upgrading all of their facilities. But Cal's right. I mean, you know, they're working on a new tennis center, the track, the football, and basketball has been kind of left behind. So, but I'm interested in not just a new practice facility, but the idea that, you know, it would contain other things, including a museum of Kentucky basketball history.
You could be like Joe Lewis and be a greeter at the museum.
Selfishly, I'd like to see that happen. You know, the article said a lot of that memorabilia is stored in the basement, or the bowels, as they put it, of Memorial Coliseum. There was a time when they had a UK basketball museum down in, right outside of Rupp Arena in the shops there. And it was open for a few years, but there was a life-size statue out front of me. You know where that statue is today?
Ooh. Avery, do you have a guess? She does not. Okay.
I don't even know the UK campus.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah. Where is
it? It's in a barn on Wayne Lister's farm.
Is it next to a stuffed giraffe?
My life.
Avery's trying not to spit all over the equipment. She's got coffee in her mouth. Oh, man, that's great.
It's in a barn on Lister's farm, my life-size statue.
Oh, God. You almost killed me. You literally almost killed Avery there.
I'm gonna call Cal this afternoon and say, if he pulls this off, I want to donate my life-size statue to the new museum. as soon as we pick the hay and the manure off of it. Oh man.
That's perfect. Oh God, that's perfect. That was a great man, oh man. But yeah, so I mean, I'm with you. You know, the facility thing is an interesting conversation because it's clearly worked on the football side. You know, we're talking about, you know, basketball, football school, whatever. They had to get better facilities to get guys out of Ohio, to get guys out of, you know, other states that they're competing against those schools. Because, I mean, if you're getting recruited, simple example, if you're getting recruited by Kentucky and you're also being recruited by, say, Louisville and Indiana. Man, Louisville's got nice facilities down here for football, right?
Yeah, and they've got nice facilities for just about everything.
Just about everything, that's right. And if you're competing even against a school in the ACC that way, imagine having to compete against the other SEC schools, which have gotten the same level of funding in that you have. Yeah, no, it matters for sure. And if guys want to, you know, play at the highest level and at the best places, I mean, I think the bigger long-term conversation is how much longer do they play at Rupp?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that size of a stadium is outdated. I think they need to probably go to a slightly smaller stadium, and you know, not like 12,000 or something, but maybe like 17,000-18,000, something like that. They don't need 22,000 seats at a basketball
stadium. But what they really need, Louis, and you know, they just refurbished Rupp, and part of the revenue raising for that was they increased the rent that UK has to pay for the basketball games there, which is fair. And they've renovated Rupp and did some nice things to it, built some private clubs that the fans can go to before and things like that. But you know what they don't have?
Sweets.
Exactly. Sweets. That's the biggest revenue producer because, you know, all of the companies, all of the wealthy individuals would, I mean, there'd be a line out the door to buy suites for basketball games in Rupp Arena. And the new renovation of Rupp did not include that. Yep. I guess there's just no way you can. So you're absolutely right. At some point, there's going to have to be a different facility with those kinds of revenue-producing things in it.
Yep, there you go. So, all right, let's head to break here. We'll get Kyle Tucker on the other side. I know Kyle's time is a little bit cramped this morning, so we'll call him right now. But a reminder.
Hey, whoa. He's not doing anything more important than Issel and Louie.
He's also on the take this week.
Well, we don't care about the take. What do we care about the take?
Copycats.
Yeah. You ask Kyle. You ask Kyle. When you call him up, Avery, you ask him, Kyle, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to be on Issel and Louie, or are you going to be on with those idiots in the afternoon? And see what he says.
Ask the question, Avery.
Do it. Hey, a reminder that this hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN Radio, and we're pleased to be joined on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline by Mr. Kyle Tucker, who covers UK for The Athletic. Louis and I are both subscribers, and if you're not, what are you waiting for? It's like $1 a month, and it's great, great publication. Kyle, how are you this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have created quite a brouhaha with your article on Cal calling Kentucky a basketball school.
I thought it was all died down, and then about 10 o'clock last night, I see a guy named Dan on Twitter restoking the fire.
It's
interesting. It's interesting because, one, that's not a super controversial statement in its own, on its own. I mean, it's been a basketball school for 100 years. But I think where Cal would tell you probably that he, if he has a regret about that statement, it's not necessarily saying what he said. Kentucky's a basketball school, and they need their facility. I think it was bringing in the football schools, and bringing up Alabama and Georgia, and sort of the way that came out. And I think the spirit of what he meant was that. Well, I know that it was that. If you're Alabama football and you need something, you get it right. Like they don't wait around. If Alabama football feels like it has a need in facilities or whatever else, they spend it. That's their top priority because that's their flagship program, because it has always been their, that the football program is a big part of the whole university's brand, and you got to take care of it. And if you want to stay at the top, you can't. Like, I know that probably frustrates some people too. Like, why do you always need a new thing? But it's the world we live in, and the top programs always have to have the new thing because somebody else will use it against you. And so I think that's where he was going with that, just the idea that if you're Alabama football and you need something, you get it built. And so Kentucky basketball is that to Kentucky. And if they need something, he wants it built. And there's some urgency, I think, there for him to get this practice facility done. But that being said, he did throw in the football aspect. And, Alabama and Georgia are football schools. And I totally understand why the football side of things would read that and go, well, that's that feels like a shot at us. Or I think probably more reason why they were upset is they recruit against those schools, and you know, there's an immediate reaction that, well, now they're gonna, you know, now they're gonna use this against us. And so I understand that, but I do think it got a little crazy. I was surprised. I think I was probably surprised that that Stoops decided to go publicly in public in his response. You know, I mean, he was within his rights to do so, and I understand the urge to sort of defend yourself there if you're Mark. And the thing for Mark is he's really been combating that idea for 10 years at Kentucky. You know, he got there and, you know, basketball school. I mean, every year that's a sensitive wording for him, because every year at SEC Media Days and a million other places, he gets, you know, until recently, he would get asked, you know, how hard is it to win in football at a basketball school? So, I mean, that's you know, it's a dig to him, and it is, you know, that puts a sour taste in his mouth. He spent a decade trying to kind of kick down doors at Kentucky to obliterate sort of the negative history. I mean, there were so many kind of negative connotations around Kentucky football, and he's tried to systematically knock those down. But I think historically, one of the, you know, knocks against UK football is, how are you going to do it? Because you're a basketball school. And so I just think that those words, that phrasing in and of itself sort of trigger, you know, people in that building. And I understand that. So, you know, I think Cal would have probably chosen his words differently if he thought much about how it was going to be received. I don't think he intended to start a war with Mark Stoops or football. you know, I think early on he was very, very supportive of football and was, you know, banging the drum for them to get their facilities when they had none. I mean, it was terrible football facilities, and those have been dramatically upgraded. And he's been, I think, a pretty public supporter of Mark Stoops. So, and he likes him. I don't think he wants to have a war with Stoops. And so I imagine either they have or will soon sit down and talk, get it squared away. I don't think we're going to see any more war of the words, you know, out in the public. I would hope not. I don't think that's probably good or healthy or constructive for anybody. But it, you know, the tough part for Cal is, like, I think his larger message really kind of got lost in the wash, because he really wants this practice facility. He kind of wanted to put out his vision for what it could be, and housing a museum to Kentucky basketball in it, an interactive museum that is certainly something that's missing in Lexington. There was one for a short time, but there's really currently no place that has something like that in Lexington. That was an interesting idea. And some of the ideas he has for how he could build this practice facility, use largely or entirely private money and getting donations from his former players, that's all interesting stuff that in itself makes a good story, makes an interesting you know, news item, but the whole thing kind of got gobbled up by that one kind of line about, we're a basketball school.
Kyle Tucker joins us from The Athletic at Kyle Tucker _ATH on Twitter if you want to find him there. This is Isla and Louie on 680-1057. Hi, Kyle. Louie Rabeau. Nice to meet you, man.
Good to meet you.
Yeah. You know, the Mark Stoops thing is really interesting. We're used to Vince Mero tweeting from, you know, his kids' weddings. You know, he's on Twitter all the time. This is pretty unusual for Mark Stoops. I think your points are well made there, where it's pretty clearly a sore spot for him that he feels like he's done all this work for a decade and, you know, gotten into the top 25 preseason poll for the first time. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the expectations for them, but obviously you're down in the Bahamas. Any takeaways from those first two games while you've been down there?
Yeah, I would say it's like more like one game.
That's fair. Yeah.
Last night was not really any reasonable competition. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely some early impressions. I think we need to certainly see them against better competition, you know, than we will in the fall. But I will say the Dominican team, they thought was going to be a bit of a challenge, and was a little bit shocked at how badly they got beaten. They brought in three older, you know, mid-20s guys who were all on the national team, who were all European pros. That team had some players, and they had a little bit of size, and really were no impediment at all for Kentucky. So, you know, early impressions overall of this team. I mean, Damian Collins is every bit the athletic long, athletic alien that we thought he was. But I think more eye-opening is some of the stuff we saw him putting the ball on the floor, being able to hit the pull-up jumper, and it looks pure. You watch him shoot free throws, it looks pure. I think he was an 86% free throw shooter in a small sample size last year as a freshman. I think he's five or six for six from the line here. Putting the ball on the deck and getting hitting Oscar with a wraparound pass. Those are pretty eye-opening things for a 6'10 guy with a 7'4 wingspan to be able to do. And so, you know, I think Damian is a real has been a little bit of a revelation down here. I think just how much more physically strong and imposing, and I think just aggressive in his mentality, Jacob Toppin is. I think he's going to be a really good defender and rebounder and shot blocker for them. And you know, his offensive game continues to develop, so that's pretty intriguing. The two freshmen, Kaysen Wallace and Chris Livingston, are not freshmen. I mean, they don't physically look like freshmen. They don't play like freshmen. They don't think like freshmen or sound like freshmen. They're very, very mature, and they fit right in on a team that's full of, you know, third, fourth, and fifth year college players. And I think that's huge for them as well. And then the other freshman that nobody expected a thing from, Adu Thiero, has become, you know, one of the storylines of this trip so far, because everybody knows now he had this big growth spurt and turned him from a zero star recruit into a Kentucky signee, and he continues to grow as he's gotten to Kentucky. And could be, you know, he's 6'6 now. He was 5'8 a couple of years ago. He's gonna be 6'10 or 6'11 before it's over with. He might be that tall by the time the actual season starts. and nobody really knew what to make of him. And he's come down here and played like he belongs. You know, he's got 20. I think he's got 20 points in 23 minutes of play down here, or 20 points in 27 minutes, something like that. He's blocked several shots. He, you know, 4 seconds into his career at Kentucky, had a steal and a dunk. He just looks like he's very comfortable, and he's very gifted, and has good instincts, defensive instincts. And it just seems like a lot of people are on that coaching staff, not just fans, on the coaching staff are getting excited about, kind of feeling like they hit the lottery with that kid. There's a very low level of expectations. You kind of take a flyer on a kid, see what he can become. And he's already kind of day one becoming something like, you could play that kid. I think he could give you some minutes if you need to.
Kyle, another article that you recently wrote that I really enjoyed was the one about Oscar Tshiebwe and his NIL business. And in that article, there was a line that Oscar said, I've been blessed, and I really don't need a big house or a new car. I want to be a blessing to others. Is this kid for real?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I mean, he comes from humble beginnings, and he comes from a place where there's a lot of poverty, where there's a lot of kids who need help, where he was a kid who needed somebody to kind of discover him and give him this life that he's found here. And, I think he has a heart for, one, he wanted to, first and foremost, wanted to take care of his mom and get her in a better situation, get her in a better house, a more secure house. And he's done that, and went back this summer and did that, was able to buy her a house, which was huge for him. But then, you know, the next mission is to go back over there and help people, you know, help kids over there who need it. He's got the Big O Foundation. Some of his NIL deals have been structured to take a slice of that and give it to his charity so that he can then, invest that money in the people of the Congo. With backpack drives and school supply drives and food, providing food and shelter and schooling opportunities for kids over there. And of course, I mean, it's a great thing. It's hard to look at Oscar and listen to Oscar talk and know what's important to him and what he spends his time and his money on, and think too many negative things about that guy. I mean, he is a relentless basketball player whose style, I think, makes people fall in love with him, because he does, you know, his game is all dirty work. It's rebounding. But then, you know, he walks off with this giant smile and starts asking how he can help people. I think that's, it makes him one of the more likable figures in not only, I think, in the Cal era at Kentucky, but I think in college basketball right now.
Kyle Tucker with us from The Athletic. He's covered UK since 2011. Is 11 years covering UK kind of like dog years? Is it more like 25 or 30 at this point? Is that how it feels?
Yeah, Kyle talked about that as the coaching job. And yeah, sometimes it feels like, especially when days like yesterday happen, you write something and turns into a World War III on the internet. There can be some long days and stressful days, but it's pretty fun too. I mean, I'm down here in August in the Bahamas watching basketball. I can't complain too much.
You wrote in July that, you know, Kentucky basketball hunts their ninth title with a loaded roster. People quoted as saying, "I think we're ready." Have you seen things the last couple days that make that article even more relevant today?
Let's say that one more time. Sorry, you're breaking up there a little bit.
No, you're good. Just you wrote on July, this is the 28th, about the hunt for the ninth title. Are you seeing indications that this team isn't just loaded but ready for a long run when it comes to March and April?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I thought last year's team was loaded and ready for a run. They looked like the best team in the country for a long stretch of the season. But, I mean, everything I see and everyone I have talked to, I think there's a general feeling that this team is better than last year's team. I think they've certainly got some more physical, athletic Toppin are better than they were a year ago. Wheeler is back, so you know what you're getting there. Oscar is back, you know what you're getting there. And then, you know, the two freshmen, Wallace and Livingston, are grown men, and they look like, you know, future lottery picks. Chris Livingston is the guy who's really been impressive here, because I think everybody knew he was this big, strong guy who would, you know, defend and rebound and, you know, make athletic plays. But the fact that he's shooting the way he's shooting, and, you know, I don't know what his percentage is. Let me, I had it here. What his percentage is from three for the trip, but it's good. And I've asked around, you know, about how, you know, does that track with what he's done in practice, or is this fluky? And everybody says, no, he's been hitting shots like that consistently since he got to Kentucky. And so if he's 6'7", 220, and muffled up guy who can, you know, touch the top of the backboard and do all those things, and I think he's averaging 8 or 9 rebounds a game here in two games in the Bahamas. If he can do all that, and he's a shooter, and he's got some perimeter skills, I mean, Chris Livingston is a lottery pick. I think Kaysom Wallace is a lottery pick. And so that, and, you know, C.J. Frederick is back and healthy, and I think he's going to be very good for them. And Antonio Reeves comes in. You wonder how he will make that mid-major jump, and Kellen Grady had to do that last year, but everybody says, hey, Kellen Grady took 2 or 3 months to get acclimated to the step up in competition. Antonio Reeves has taken zero days. He came in getting buckets right away. He hit 4 out of 5 threes in the first game the other night. I kind of look from the top to the bottom of the roster, and it does feel to me like this is a better roster and potentially a better team than the one they had a year ago. And the one they had a year ago was good enough to make a deep run. I do think that that injuries and a lot of other factors came into play there that derailed them. But no doubt that team could play with anybody. They beat the pants off the two teams that played for the national title last year.
Kyle, we appreciate your time. We know you have other obligations. We'll get you out of here on this one. Am I wrong? It looks to me like Cal is also rejuvenated. It looks like he took a couple of years off. And I'm wondering, do you think Cal thinks he needs another national championship to cement his legacy at UK?
Yeah, I think he is definitely energized. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I think I've looked at him before in a preseason and said it seems like he's re-energized and it didn't go well. But I do think being around him a bunch down here, I think there's a very real confidence in him that, like, he's got everything he needs on this team. A lot of things still have to go your way. You still only got 10 scholarship players, and you know, got to stay healthy. Can't afford for a couple of certain guys to get injured. But he, you know, when he looks across the board, he feels like he's got that team. And so, yeah, I do think he's energized. And you know, what does he need to do to cement his legacy at Kentucky? Gosh, I don't know. I think a lot of people would argue that a lot of different ways. I mean, most coaches who've been to four Final Fours and won a title at a school, their legacy is pretty well set. But there's a lot of folks who think he should have another one or two. And if he doesn't get another one or two, then he will have underachieved in his time at Kentucky. That's up for debate. You know, I think if he doesn't get back to another Final Four, I think a lot of people will feel that way. I don't know if he necessarily has to win another title, but I do think a second title would cement him. I think it would quiet a lot of the, you know, how good really is Cal, because for the he can't coach crowd, it's as if he didn't lead a UMass team out of the wilderness to a Final Four and a Memphis team out of the wilderness to a Final Four, and those were not places where he was flying private jets and landing only the finest recruits from day one.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle, you can read Kyle's work in The Athletic. Louie and I are both subscribers. Kyle, you do a terrific job. We thank you for coming on. We hope you'll come back often. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you. Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Kyle.
All right, little Kyle Tucker, at Kyle Tucker _ATH on Twitter if you want to go find him and be jealous of him being in the Bahamas, and you are not.
And watching UK basketball.
Yeah, just hanging out with UK basketball. Yeah, that's right, exactly right, in person, yeah.
Exactly.
Instead of having to listen to the SEC Network broadcast, there you go. Man, by the way, I wanted to mention, you brought up Bear Nose earlier, and George is bringing by lunch today to the ESPN Louisville studios. They're participating in the Highway 62 Jubilee to assist with the flood victims in eastern Kentucky. So until August 20th, so you got about a little over a week, they're accepting donations at all their locations to help. And they're going to pack a truck and send it down to eastern Kentucky. Kids' clothes and underwear, men's clothes and underwear, women's clothes and underwear, towels, washcloths, first aid kits, bug spray, any kind of bedding that you have, other personal items, anything like that. They're taking the donations at all 15 area Bear Nose locations. Wanted to share that while we had some time, because I know that, look, a tornado in western Kentucky and a flood in eastern Kentucky, we've been through it, man.
Absolutely.
And if you can help out, kudos to Cal for the open practice, and U of L here doing the water donation collection at Cardinal Stadium. If you can help out at all, that's a really good opportunity to do that. So thanks for our friends and parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Please help. Please help. Have you heard the infamous story? And this kind of tells you what, for a long, long time, what basketball and football has meant at the University of Kentucky. Have you heard the story, Louie, about in the early 50s when Coach Rupp won an SEC title? Bear Bryant won the Sugar Bowl, and the boosters bought Coach Rupp a Cadillac, and Bear Bryant got a cigarette lighter. there's speculation that Coach Rupp and Coach Bryant didn't get along, but they had a relationship kind of like Stoops and Cal do. I mean, they liked each other, and in fact, years later, when I was on the UK basketball team, we were playing in Alabama, and Bear came up to our shoot around, and Coach Rupp immediately stopped practice, gathered everybody around, and introduced us to Coach Bryant. That's when Coach Bryant said he knew it was time for him to find another school, because football wasn't going to be appreciated at Kentucky like basketball is.
Yeah, no, I think that story is pretty infamous at this point, and it does speak to the long-term sort of feelings of people down in Lexington. Reminder for some programming, by the way. Lou City, big home game tomorrow. Cool opportunity in this town, frankly. The Arlington Million goes off a little after 6 tomorrow. They'll kick off at 7:30 downtown at Lynn Family Stadium. Every chair back is sold out, and so those standing room end zone tickets are still available. LouCity.com for those. But if you can't make it down there, 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff with Jeff Milby, with Casey Whitfield on 680 105.7. That is tomorrow night. You can also listen on the app if you want to. But that is about... I mean, Dan, they're doing it. I mean, that's probably about as important a regular season home game as they've ever had, the two teams atop the Eastern Conference. So good luck to the boys in purple in Butchertown tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you've got plenty of time. Yeah, I believe the million is the last race
on
the card.
It is the last race on the card, yep.
Yeah, so you've got plenty of time to watch the million and get down to Lynn Family Stadium and watch the soccer. Tampa, is that who they're playing?
Tampa's coming into town. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and they're really good. So Mushugalushu or whatever his name is, he's got to be at his best tomorrow night.
You are correct. Yes. All right, so on the other side of the break, we will welcome in our friend Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs, from the Derby office over there, the media office, and we will chat with him. You'll also be able to hear him tonight on Inside Churchill Downs from 6 to 7 with Darren Rogers here on 680-1057. But a reminder, the first hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Getting ready for that state fair, man. Jump on to KentuckyTourism.com. Find out all of the details of that. Did you know it's in the state law, Dan, that kids are excused from school to attend a day of the state fair?
Oh, really?
How about that?
That's very,
like,
yeah.
Louisiana Mardi Gras.
Doesn't it? It really does. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it's like you know, the schools in Jefferson County are closed on Oaks Day. You know, it's kind of like that, right? You know, the kids can take a day off to go to the fair. So check out all those details at KentuckyTourism.com. This is Issel and Louie here on 680-1057. We'll talk to Kevin Kirstein on the other side.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.